trust you do. If you've got your Bibles, let's open up the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We pray the Lord use us tonight. I really do want to be used of the Lord. I do mean that. I woke up this morning real bright and early, and I was ready to preach real, real early this morning. And that's just been, I've been ready to preach about all day. And find myself preaching to myself. I'll just walk around and just some of the texts. I don't know if anybody does this or if you're even allowed to do it. I don't know. But what I do know is this. I'll get to thinking about a text and I'll just be it to run it through my heart. And this is one of them texts. I've been antagonized about it. I've had battles over it. But I feel real sure just a few times I woke up this morning and I really felt like that the Lord was just going to help some folks tonight. And I pray, I want to say that we may not shout a lot. We may shout, I don't know, that's the Lord's business. But I want to say this, I really hope that the text will help us tonight. And maybe not even, I do pray. And my prayer's been about all day that God would help some folks, I mean tonight, that God would do something real in their heart tonight. But I'm trusting that God is going to continue to do a work in this text for some time to come. I'm praying it'll help you get on down the road, maybe a little further down. So you just pray and the Lord will help us, and I want to be yielded to Him. And he knows that. I'm not interested in preaching to be seen or heard. And I sure enough didn't come to entertain you tonight. I come to preach what I felt like God has laid to my heart. Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9, I'll start reading in verse number 14. And I've got a little bit of reading, but it's a familiar text. And it helps us tonight. Bible says this, when he came to his disciples, verse 14, Mark 9, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him, and asked the scribes, and he asked the scribes rather, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered, and they said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And it says, and they could not. Said he answered them, said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Said, bring him unto me. They brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tarried. He fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oftentimes it cast him in the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I want to go on record as saying that ain't changed. Amen. And the Bible said, and straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Heavenly Father, I bow my head. And God, I'm thanking you for tonight. I thank you for the witness of the scripture. I thank you for the witness of the songs. God, I thank you, Lord, for the help and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Yes. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for everything that you've done tonight thus far. I thank you that, Lord, that there's been folks already that, God, you got to minister into their heart and to minister into their soul. And God, I'm I'm glad they didn't wait for an hour and a half or 2 hours. But they said, I believe I'll just reach out to God while he's reaching out to me. And the Lord, I want to go on record as saying thank you for reaching out to us. I pray tonight that God, you'd help us one more time. And God, this side of eternity, I pray to preach as a dying man. I'm never sure to preach again. I'm sure glad for what you've done for us. And I pray, God, you'd help us through the word of an almighty God tonight. And Lord, I love you and I thank you. And God, focus my heart on you. And Lord, I pray if there be anything that hinder me from being used of you, and God, I readily confess it and forsake it. Help me now, Lord, I pray. In Christ's name, I humbly beg you and ask, amen and amen. You could be seated. I'm interested in this, of course. That marks the place where you'll find this text. And we find, no doubt, there's a lot happening. But I'm interested primarily in verse number 24. Bible said, and straightway, the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe. And then he said, help thou mine unbelief. And the boy, I got to thinking about that, and the Lord's been churning my heart over this scripture right here. Has there ever been a truer statement? And now I want to thank God for the honesty of this man right here. And listen, if he is an independent Baptist, and said, Lord, I've always been believing. I'm believing right now. It's never been a time I believed you anymore. And I believe you right in this moment. But that's not what that feller said. And that fellow there, Matt, he was honest from his heart. And he said, Lord, I do believe. And at the same time, he said, Lord, I need you to help my unbelief. Amen. And I don't know about anybody else, but boy, this dual nature I've caught, it sure messes me up sometimes. He's an inner man, you understand. And whenever God saved me by the good grace of God, and Rick put me in the family of God, and when God revealed himself to me, and that inner man, Ty, he don't have no problem at believing God to do everything. Amen. And boy, this old flesh right here, have you never been in this right here? I got to carry this old dead man around everywhere I go. And every time I'm faced with something, this old dead man says, and God can't do that. And that live man on the inside, he said, God still can. And I want to go on record and say, thank God. Listen, I'm going to be honest tonight. I wish to God that that inner man was always the one that won. But the truth of the matter is, and sometimes that outer man says it. And so I tell you what I've learned to do. Thank God. I've learned just to bow down and come before God and say, God, I believe. Amen. But I need you to help my unbelief. I want to preach on this song tonight, and I want to deal with some things. And I hope to God, now listen to me. I pray to God, got to help us tonight. And the Lord help me to be real. I take my time, Brother Nathaniel. There's some things in this text I believe will help everybody in this church if we'll let it tonight. But I want to preach on this song. And don't stop believing. Amen. And don't stop believing, thank God. This old fellow's just about in that place where he's about. And to stop believing. And I got to noticing back through here, I'm going to give you three or four things out of this text that deals with what happens. I mean, now listen, everybody stay with me. Hey, you know you came into this world, and when you came in believing, amen. I mean, you go walk up to a two-year-old, and you say you believe that a whale swallowed Jonah. Hey, you not tell St. Nathaniel? Oh, yes, amen. Hey, you believe a virgin gave birth? Oh, yes. Hey, you believe he got up on the third day? Oh, yes, thank God. Hey, you believe God can heal that person? Oh, why, they don't have no problem, amen. And they don't have no problem believing. But you know what happens is something. As we go down through this life and to this flesh, we drag it around. And longer as the days go by, and Brother Rodney, what we find as this flesh slowly eats at, and the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to watch what the text is here. I'll give you just a few things, and I'll be done. But I want you to notice, first of all, whenever folks stop believing, that's when the condition, and when the condition continues for a long time. Here's what I can say. Watch your Bibles here. And verse 21. And verse 21, when the Lord asked it, he asked his father, and he said, how long? And then you notice on down at the end of it, it said, since he was a child. Here's what I found in the life of Christians all across this land. That's when they first go into a trial, and they first have to start dealing and with something from the outside world, a tribulation or a sorrow, and maybe a persecution, a little bit of suffering. And Brother Rick, when it first comes, and they say, oh, God's going to help us. And God's going to help me. And listen, friend, I've listened and I've watched a minute. And they've gotten diagnosed and with various illnesses. And they've gotten bad news on different fronts. And when they come to the house of God, and Brother Nathaniel, they say, oh, yes, it looks real bad. But I know God's going to help me. But then listen, as it goes on a little longer, and as those days turn into weeks, and those weeks turn into months, and those months turn into years, and you'll watch them, Brother Gavin, and that same faith that came in and raised up their head and said, I know God's going to help me. And now all of a sudden they walk in, and that their countenance has changed. And Brother Delmer, they don't have to tell me. I don't have to tell nobody around them. And look here, friend, what's happened is the flesh has taken over, and now they're in a state of unbelief. And listen, don't act spiritual tonight, because the truth is, it's happened to everybody that's in this room. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. He said, how long's it been? And now let me ask you this question. Hey, you reckon even the Lord knew how long it had been? Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. And the Lord knew how long it would be. He wasn't asking him, trying to get information. He's a great I am. He already knew all there was to know. Yeah. But you know what he's doing here? He's making his mind go all the way back to when his problem first started. And all this time, he's been wondering, is God going to help me? Is God going to help me? And now he's at that place where he said, oh boy, thank God, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now he's at that place where he looks back on it and he said, oh God. He said, I'm still believing over here. But over here, I'm having a hard time. And he said, the only thing I know that I do is to give you both of them. Amen. I give you my problem. I give you my doubts. And just ask you to help me all the way around. Amen. And so watch this. And when the problem continues for a very long time, verse 22, here's what I noticed in this passage. He said in verse 22, he said, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. He said, but if thou canst do anything, I noticed not only had it continued a long time, but then I noticed right here that the exceptions become less and less. He said, how long? And now look here, friend, when we're going through some heartaches to start with, and I'm preaching tonight and it's going to be real, and I'm going to try to plow real deep, all right? But I want to say this, and whenever you first go through some problems, it's easy to find a little relief on this side when it first starts. But the longer you're in those things, and the more they consume who you are, and they get in your mind, they get in your heart, and then you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about what's going on, and you go to bed at night and you're thinking about what's going on, and the best you can do, it's oftentimes
It's just always there. And I'm reminding you that this is an attack of the devil. Amen. That's what this whole story's about. Is it's an attack of the devil. Amen. And it started off just for it. Whenever it first started, I thought I'll get over this attack quickly. But no, that attack's it's lingered a little while. And then they thought, man, I'll get a little relief over here. And then all of a sudden you find that the devil's not letting up. Oh, listen, he's a worthy adversary, friend. You hear me and hear me well. And then I want you to notice what the Bible goes on down to say in verse number 18 here. And the scripture says these passages in the verse number 18 when I find it. He said, and wheresoever he taketh him. So I notice when the experience is long and the exceptions are less. And I notice this when the expectations get low. You know what happens before very long? Now listen to me. I want everybody to look at me, all right? I want to preach right here, and I want you to hear me. And the longer this thing goes, and the lower expectations we have of the Lord. And when we first get in here, and we first come to the house of God, we see something going on, a problem, and we'll say, oh, I know God's going to help. And I'm going to stand on the mountaintop someday, Bill, and I'm going to shout her out for the glory of God. But the longer that thing goes, and those expectations that used to set up here, and what happens is our unbelief starts lowering our expectations. And then we come and we sit in the house of God, and what we used to think God would do up here, and we start to lower it down. And then if we don't do something about it, and Brother Jones will sit in the house of God, and we won't expect God for nothing. And when we don't expect God for nothing, we'll start praying for something. And we'll say, oh God, ain't no point in praying. And what difference does it make anyhow? How will you keep telling yourself that? Amen. I've done seen God do too many things and too many places for me to stop believing right now. Amen. I've done watched God in too many hospital rooms. I've done been in too many marriage places. I've done sat in the house of God far too many times. And I think God ain't going to help us. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, I'm going to tell you this. Maybe God's not always helping you. But no, God's not always helping me as far as my eyes are concerned and my perception is. But God's always doing far more than we know. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I want you to understand. When you get to that place, the condition continues. But then I start noticing this. I'm not my things that lead away at your belief in God. It's when the correspondence, it continues to crush you. I want you to watch this. Have they come to the house of God? Has Phyllis got this? Now listen. He's got this baby in his heart. I got this boy. He was a child. Now who knows how old he is? But he's got this boy. And when he shows up, he's heard that the Lord can do it. I want you to watch this. Everybody listen to me. Hey, it doesn't say it in Mark's account. But in Matthew's account, chapter 12. Right before the Mount of Transfiguration. They brought one that came to it. And he had devils. And he was blind. And he was dumb. Amen. And you know what the Lord done? He healed him. Amen. And this father, no doubt, he heard word of it. He said, well, I'll tell you what. If God can do it for them, maybe he'll do it for me. Amen. And so he loads this boy up. He goes to where God's always known to be. And whenever he gets there, guess who ain't there? Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this to you, friend. Here's what I found in the house of God. These folks that they come in, and they've got their problems, and they bring their problems with them. And they think, man, if I could get them to the Lord. But then hand of the Lord doesn't pass by their way that day. And the Lord doesn't pass by the next day. And boy, the devil shows up. He said, yeah, he's done it for everybody else. But he don't care about you. Amen. And before very long, that unbelief starts to rise up. That belief starts to lower down. And we think, you know what? That might be true. God might love everybody else. But he don't love me. heaven, I look up here at me and everybody smile at me. I want y'all to know this. If tomorrow I take my last breath, if tomorrow, whenever I go down the road, I'm ran over by an 18-wheeler, that does not mean God don't love me. And God don't love my wife. And God don't love my church. And God don't love my boys. He's still been just as good on that day as he is on this day. Amen. Whether God does anything for us or not, he's still a good God. Amen. My responsibility to keep on believing. Amen. Here's what I found, the absence of Christ. I mean, whenever you show up in a place and you're looking for God to show up, and you're searching over here. Job 23 is one of my favorites. Y'all know that. Job said, man, I was looking over here. Couldn't find him there. I went to looking over here. Couldn't find him there. I looked back there. He wasn't there neither. He said, man, I've been looking all around and I can't seem to find him anywhere. Oh, Joseph back down there for 13 years. He's been in all these places and he can't find God nowhere. But when the Holy Ghost wrote the scripture, everywhere Joseph was, it says, and the Lord was with him, amen. And the Lord was with him, amen. And the Lord was with him, thank God. I'm saying this, whether you know it or not, and the Lord is with you, amen. Whether you know it or not. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. You stop believing, you come in the house of God. I noticed in this passage, what you find in this place is there's the absence of Christ. Then I got noticing this. This is a real blessing. Notice verse 16. I said that facetiously. But he said, he asked the scribes, he said, what question ye with them? Now listen, thank God, here we have this man, and this man's got this problem, and the scribes is over there, and the Lord walks up to the scribes, and he says, what do y'all got to say about the matter? And you know what? The scribes were silent. I thought, listen, what a blessing. I mean, you understand that these are the people who's supposed to know the word of God. I mean, that's what a scribe is. Y'all understand that? I mean, the scribe takes his pen, and he writes down the word of God. And they write it down so carefully, every time they write God, they throw it away. And they write G and they throw that away. And then they write a dash and they throw that away. And then they write a D and they throw that away. And but these scribes, they knew the word of God. And but what about this? This person's in dire need. And this person who knows the word of God so well ain't got nothing to say. Amen. I thought that's the problem in most churches. As the folks that are saying something ain't got nothing to say. Amen. Yes, sir, that's right. Amen. But I want you to listen to me, friend. I got thinking about this. This bothers me. You know the least they could do where, hey, Daryl, the least they could have done is to look over and said, hey, help's on the way. You ever read the story about Elijah? I said, I know it looks real bad. Somebody could have said, I was writing down the other day and I came across 2 Kings 7 and I got to studying about the life of Naaman the leper. Have you ever heard about Naaman the leper? And maybe somebody could have wrote down about 2 Chronicles over there and got to tell them about Jehoshaphat. And maybe somebody could have said a little something. And them scribes, John Jones, it looks like they could have said, hey, I know it looks bad, but let me tell you about a time it looked real bad. And they throw 3 Hebrew boys in the flame. But when they got in there, hey, was one, we ain't seen him yet, but there was one like unto the Son of God. I'm sure if he could do that for them, he can probably help you. But instead of saying something, they just said nothing. Silent. What a sad time it is when these folks that's got as many problems as they've got and the people who could say something to help them chooses to be silent. There's the absence of Christ. There's the silence of the scribes. But I want you to watch this. There's the weakness of the disciples. They brought them to the disciples and they said, you help us. And you know what they said? I don't know. They said something. But when they got done with it, that demon was still in that boy. Problem was still there. They was just weak. You know, now listen to me. I'm going to get to where I'm getting to. Y'all just hang tight. I'm talking about don't stop believing. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Not all right? I got thinking about these disciples. And these disciples show up. And whenever they come to the Lord, they said, how come we couldn't do it? You remember what the Lord said? He said, this kind cometh only by prayer and fasting. You know, they hadn't dealt with that kind before. And Brother Kevin, I've got looking back over in my life And the Lord's reminded me about it about all day long, Brother Colbert. Yeah, he's reminded me about folks that 10, 15 years ago showed up, and maybe they had a problem, and you know what, Brother Nathaniel? Truth of the matter was, I just didn't know that book well enough to help them. And I'll get to reading something, I'll get to coming across that, and I think, Lord, I wish I could go back and tell them what I know now.
Yeah, right.
I wish I could. I mean, man, I'll come across something, I'll think.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I'd have known that about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If I'd have known that about 20 years ago, I could have taken that passage and I could have went to somebody and I could have helped them with what the Lord had helped me with. One of those I tell y'all all about all the time is the book of Philippians chapter number 3. Forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching for those things which are before. I tell you what, it'll be a happy day in your life, thank God. And so whenever you learn to forget what's behind, I wish somebody brought that to me whenever I was about 19 years old, amen. I wish somebody came to me and they'd said, hey, young man, we know you've messed up, but there's good news. Got an advocate with the Father. Put it under the blood. Put it behind your back. And go on and serve God. It sure would have helped me, amen. But they didn't know to. And folks can't help what they don't know. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But we're standing in this place today as disciples, followers of the Lord. And we ought to be able to help somebody. And you know what the reality of it is? Most of us could, just don't want to. Now, y'all help me right there. Y'all help me right there. Truth of the matter is, at this point, these folks, but I found usually the people who can, not much interested in helping no more. I don't really understand that. It's almost like they've arrived and they've got to this point. And they said, well, I've got this thing figured out. Well, what about the rest of us?
Yeah.
What about the rest of us?
Yeah.
I wish there'd be some disciples that'd show up.
Yeah.
Say, hey, listen, you know there's a time we was approached with this kind and we didn't know what to do. But we can stand up right now and by the good grace of God, we can help y'all get on down the road a little bit. Don't you wish that'd be right? I'm saying this, don't stop believing. Now watch this scripture. I'm just talking about, I know it may, I told you we probably not shout it out, but I'm hoping that by the good help of God that this will help you get on down the road. When the condition continues for a long time, when the correspondence is crushing, and when there's confusion about Christ, you know what will cause you to stop believing? When you get confused about who the Lord really is. I want you to watch this. Now, I want you to watch it. Y'all pay attention to your Bible. All I got is the Bible. I ain't got nothing up my sleeve, Gavin. I don't got no tricks. I'm not going to dance. I can't sing. I've got the Word of God. And I want you to watch what it says. This fella, when he shows up in Mark 9, whenever he comes up to him, verse number 17, says one of the multitude answered and said, Master. You see that? Now watch on down there. I mean, you read on down to verse number 24. Straightway the father cried out and he said with tears, Lord. This fellow's got enough understanding to know he's master and to know he's the Lord.
Amen.
And I want you to watch this. This is what he says. That, Brother Jordan, if we'd all be honest, I'm talking about everybody in this room. If we'd be honest with ourselves, we find ourselves right here doing what's about to happen. Watch what this scripture says. Whenever he gets down there, verse number 22, he says, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and in waters to destroy him. He said, but if, well, now both those things can't be. You can't believe he's master and Lord and then say if. They ain't no ifs with the master and the Lord. Are y'all listening to me? You can't come up and say, God, I know who you are. But if. If's a conditional statement. You can't say he's both if and master. Those two things don't even go together. So we bring our problems to him. Now here, listen, this is how this works. Y'all stay with me. I'm still antagonized in my mind, but I'm feeling pretty good in my spirit. Here's what happens. We show up. That fellow on the inside dusted. He said, that's the master. He said, that's the Lord. He says, that's Jesus. And the flesh says, if. Now listen to me. Y'all pay attention right here. I want you to miss this. This may not be spectacular. This may not be bells and whistles. But this will help you. If is the devil's language, and I can prove it. You know what the Lord says to him when he takes him out into the wilderness? First thing he says to him, Brother Savage, first words out of the devil's mouth when he looks at the Lord Jesus, Ty, if thou be the Son of God. And then just a little while longer, you know what he says to him again? If. And then a little while longer, you know what he says to him again? If. And you know who it is that's dealing in this man's heart right now, that's whispering in his ear, and he's saying the same words that the devil says. They're the words, if. Say something like this. If God really was who he said he was, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. Look up here at me. If God really loved you the way he said he loved you, he'd already helped you by now. If God really was going to use you, probably would have already done it. See, that's the devil's language. There's part of him that knew who he was. But on the other side, the devil's just whispering, if. And you know what Paul said? I know. He said, I know whom I have believed. He said, watch this, watch your Bible. I'm just pointing out, first thing he did, he was confused about the authority of Christ. He said, if. Then he was confused about the ability of Christ. He said, if thou canst do anything. But you know why he was there? Because there was part of him that believed he could do everything. And so he come to the house of God that day, wherever, on the street, wherever Christ is where the temple's at. And he brings his problem. And his flesh looks at him and he saw all he sees is a man. And he said, you know what? If you do anything at all, just anything, probably be a blessing. But that inner man came to him that day, and the whole time he's coming down there, he said, I don't know what we got to lose. Y'all watching your Bibles here, I'm just, all I got's a Bible. This ain't nothing spectacular, but I do want you to see what the Bible says. Watch in Mark chapter 7. This is why he's here. You got to pay attention. Mark chapter 7. This is why he's here. This is what the Bible says. Watch this. Mark 7, verse 35. Straightway his ears was open. String of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so the much more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, and said, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You know why he showed up that day? There was no doubt a feller come walking through his town. Dad, when he came by him, he was talking. He said, wait just a second. I ain't never heard you talk before. He said, what happened? He said, his name was Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And this other fella came walking by there, and he said, hey, did you hear that? And about that time, he turned around. And he said, I did hear that. And he said, that's the first thing I ever have heard. He said, how'd you get to hear? He said, his name was the Lord Jesus. He said, where's this fella at? He said, I got a big problem. He said, I've been carrying it a long time. It ain't getting no better. He said, maybe he could help me. And they said, well, I can tell you this, he does all things well. And he said, well, we'll see what he does with this one. And he gets up there and he said, if you can do anything, you imagine, look at me, friend. Can you imagine looking at the God of the universe, stepped out of nowhere and on to nothing and said, can you do anything or not? I'm just being honest with you. I'm talking about Kevin Sexton. I feel like so many times Misty in my life that I stand here and I've got this Bible and I believe, Kyle, I believe every word of it. Rodney, I believe every word. I believe every story. I mean, I believe it. And despite believing every bit of this, I find myself coming in the house of God sometimes and say, God, here's my problem. I'm fasting, testifying, whatever you want to do with it. Here's my problem, Dustin. It's not believing that he's done it. I'm going to be honest with you, Nathaniel. When you call me and you say, Brother Kevin, I need you to help me pray, I don't even have no problem believing that God will do it for you.
Right.
None. I don't. You call me and you say, Brother Kevin, pray. We hang up on the phone and I'm praying and I'm trusting God to do it. But when it comes to me, when I get down there, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like I've messed up so much that I don't even have a right to ask God to help me. And I wonder why God would at this point in my life. That may not be spiritual, but I'm telling you the truth. And so I come down and I say, God, there's a whole church full of folks that's better than I am. That's right. And I say, God, I ain't even asking you to do everything. If you just do anything. And the Lord's like, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to that you want to know, can I do some little thing? I've got the hollows of the world, the whole world, the whole sea, measured it out in the hollow of my hand. He's the one that told Job. He said, Job, where was you at? Whenever I told the waters they could only come this far and they had to stop. He said, where was you at? Whenever I commanded the sun and the stars to come up. And he said, you ain't never done. Where was you at? He said this to Job, one of the great things. He said, tell me the treasures of the snow if you can. In other words, he's saying, Job, you don't know nothing. Do you even know who I am? And I'm going to tell you the truth. Getting ready to click off 44. And when it comes to believing God, sometimes I trust that 8-year-old version of myself better than I do this 44-year-old. This flesh has gotten deader. It's gotten more corrupt. It's gotten heavier to drag along. I'm going to give you the last thing. I'm done preaching. Maybe. I want you to listen to me. I know this is slow. It's on purpose. I feel like the Lord's really helping me. And I feel like the Lord's helping some folks tonight. But I'm talking about don't stop believing. If you ain't careful, that unbelieving part starts to creep up. And that believing part starts to go low. Watch what, I mean, I want you to say this last thing. This seems to be the dumbest of everything he says, and I find myself doing the same thing. He says, often, he said, if that's questioning the authority of Christ, can that's questioning the ability of Christ, then he said this, have compassion. Watch him. He said, have compassion on us and help us. You know what he says, Jesse? He looks at the Lord, and he said, here's what I don't know. I don't know if you will. I don't know if you're going to. I don't even know if you can. And he said, but I don't know if you even have compassion on me enough to do it. And I thought, man, of everything, Dad, that he said that probably hurt the Lord, that had to be it. Because you know, listen, you know what I don't, I mean, look here. Everybody in this room, you're going to pray. Rodney, look here. Sometime you're going to pray for me. You're going to find I'm in a hospital and I'm laying there dying and you're going to pray for me and guess what? I'm going to die anyway.
Is that all right? That's reality. It's going to happen. There's going to be a day and you're going to pray for, man, I need this bill. Lord, I need you to meet it. And guess what? The bill's going to come and your bank account's still going to be empty. God's still going to be God.
That's right.
But the one thing, not everybody in here is going to get your miracle moment. Not everybody in here is going to go to the mailbox and pull out $5,000. Not everybody in here is going to, you know, get all of a sudden you show up one day and you found out you got a long lost relative that loves you and left you more money than what you, not everybody's going to have that. Not everybody's going to be able to come in this church, lift up their hands and shout her out, say, last week I was praying for this and this week God answered that prayer. Not everybody's going to do that. But everybody in this room, ever one of us, ought to be able to step back and say, I don't know if God's going to help me, but I know He's full of compassion towards me. You know how I know that? Says so. Psalms 149. The Lord is full of compassion.
Amen.
I don't know if the Lord's going to touch your situation. That's reality. Look here, Doug, I'm praying for Dyer. I'm praying. I believe God's going to help him. But if He don't, He still loves you. He still loves Valerie. Loves Jesse. Loves Riley. And He still loves Dyer. Because He's full. He's not ever been depleted of His compassion. Will He heal him? I'm praying. And I'm believing. But if He don't, you know what compassion, I'm done. I'm trying to be. You know what the word compassion literally means? Literally. It's a compound word, compassion. It means with suffering. That means when you're going through something, God's so full of humanity towards you that He suffers with you. He may not heal you. He may not touch you. But sitting here right now with everybody in this room, He suffers. All I'm saying is this. I'm done. I'm trying to be. But watch, I ain't ending there. I'm ending where the story ends. Here the Bible says this. When Jesus saw, verse number 25, Jesus saw the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And if it stopped right there, that'd be real good. But that's not where it stops. He says, and enter no more.
Praise God.
The Lord put up a no posting, no trespassing sign. He said, get out and don't come back. And you know what I'm hoping the Lord will do for some of us tonight? All that unbelief that keeps rising up, I'm praying God just cast that thing out. And tonight the Lord will help us to get past it. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. I've cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I'm done preaching. I'm done preaching. Listen, whoever's going to come to the piano, come.